During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talked to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we're chatting with Reese Evans, an entrepreneur and coach through the platform that she founded, Yes Supply. Her mission in life is to help you discover your own inner power and recognize that no matter what your obstacle or setback is, you can create your yes. Through her life, she's overcome toxic relationships, eating disorders, crippling low self-esteem, and anxiety, and never quite knowing where she fit in. She found her power through tuning into her spirituality and discovering the power of her mind through manifestation and positive affirmations. She's a student of life, living and creating her yes through her six-figure business, Yes Supply, that inspires creatives across the world, and she's determined to help you get the tools and mentorship you need to become your most empowered self so you'll only take yes for an answer in life and business. Guaranteed a awesome conversation that I had with Reese, and you guys definitely want to take out your notepad and listen up closely. Okay, welcome to the show, Reese. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I'm excited to have you. And we were just chatting before the show started, before we started recording. And it's so crazy because sometimes you follow people, you guys follow each other on social media, and you feel like, hey girl, like you've been knowing each other forever, but this is actually our first time speaking.
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy. When you got on that call, I was like, have we talked before? Do I have something to do? But I feel like I know about you.
I know. Same here, right? So let's go ahead and jump in and get started. You know, we talk all about the Switch, Pivot, or Quit process here on the SPQ podcast. So I want to have you get us started by telling us a bit about your SPQ experience and just, you know, your background a bit more. Just give us a bit more insight, let's say.
Cool. So how I decided to switch, pivot, or quit?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Amazing. So I have a really interesting story because I've known for a long time that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like, since I was 17 or 18, I just realized, oh my God, there's this whole other world outside of working for someone else. And I've always been really ambitious. I never liked the idea of, you know, no matter how hard or how little you work, you get paid the same amount of money. And I never wanted to have to give away my independence to anyone else, especially I had kind of a tougher upbringing. My mom was in a bit of abusive relationship. And I saw how much, you know, your power can be given away if you're not independent. And so from a young age, I was like, I don't want that. I want to be independent. I want to be in control of my own income. I want to decide when I come and go. I never want to have to ask someone for anything. And my mom was always, you know, independent too, but I never wanted to feel stuck.
Right.
So I tried a few entrepreneurial endeavors. One of the first ones that I went into was fashion styling. And it's so funny because at that age, like 19, 20, everyone's like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I was like, I know, I want to be a fashion stylist. Like I thought I had it all figured out, which was really funny. Mm-hmm. And, but I went after it hard. And I think that taught me a lot that you get out what you put in. And so I taught myself how to upload a website, which back then was not easy. I had to learn like Dreamweaver and HTML, and it was pulling my hair out.
Wow.
And I did my first photo shoot. So in order to become a stylist, you had to like have a portfolio. I didn't have one. So I learned how to take pictures. I learned how to do makeup. I learned how to do the whole photo shoot, take pictures and everything like that, just so I could do the styling for it. But it was so cool because once I built up my portfolio and I got my website up there, I actually started getting jobs. And so, you know, being 19, 20 and being like, I can get paid $600, $700 for a day. Like that's mm-hmm. even possible. That opened up my eyes. Sadly, back then, one thing I learned that is sometimes when you're in a creative industry, sometimes people don't respect it as much. And so back then I got asked, like, for every one paid job I get, there'd be like five free like creatives, right? And so now with what I do, I really want to show people that you can be creative and still make money. You can do the thing that you want to do and still make money. You don't have to let people, you know, walk all over you just because you have a quote unquote fun job. You can do what's fun for you and make money. So even though I went on that path, it didn't end up working out. I just, being so young and not having access to the help that I needed, like sort of like the mentorship or seeing examples of people who are like me, who had the same background as me, who, you know, didn't have parents that could pay their rent for them or, you know, had to figure it all on my own. I couldn't, you know, make enough money in order to pay my bills and do it full time. Mm. So I ended up working in retail. And while working in retail in college, that was totally fine. And then I just assumed that as soon as I finished, I would be able to go into the real world. And I got kind of stuck in this retail job that I wanted to get out of, but I couldn't find a way. I was job hunting for years and I just couldn't find my out. And I remember one day after like a particularly like tough day at work, I think we had done inventory and I got home at like 3 a.m. and I was just like, what the heck is happening? I just had this epiphany moment where I realized like if I wasn't going to get the opportunities in another job, I had to create my own. I had to figure it out on my own. And it's so interesting now what I know about manifesting looking back. The reason why I couldn't shift into sort of a different level, the reason why I couldn't up level is because I was staying in the energy of the old me. Once I realized that I had to change from the inside out in order for my life to change, that's when things actually started to take shape. So it's so funny because when I realized that I needed to create my own opportunities, I remember grabbing a journal and I was just like, well, you know what? If I can't find a job that I want to do, like what could I do? If I could do anything, what would I do? Mm. And I started journal out ideas, like whatever came to me just journaled out. And soon these ideas started to pour through me for this like platform that I wanted to create. And I was like coming up with ideas faster than I could even write them down. And that was the initial idea for Yes Supply. I knew that I had like a little bit of skill of building my own website and I loved making things look pretty. I loved empowering people. I was always the person that people were coming to for advice or motivation and inspiration. And I felt like I wanted to help people sort of beat their own demons and become the best version of themselves. And I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know the coaching industry existed. But I knew that something like this needed to exist, especially because I was surrounded in my job at that time by so many smart, creative, talented women who wanted big things. They wanted to become an entrepreneur or an artist and didn't know where to start. So their dreams were just dying. And I was like, I want to be the person who stops those dreams from dying. And I want to be the person who, when somebody writes out their big dream on a business plan, they actually make it happen and the journal just doesn't get like shoved into the back of their closet. And so that's how I came up with the initial idea for Yes Supply. So I remember I bought a domain. I remember I spent like maybe $70 on the domain and I was like, I wonder if I'll ever make this money back. And it's so funny now to like think of, you know, how great that investment was. But I got the domain. I figured out how to create a Blogspot blog. So it wasn't even on WordPress yet. I had no idea what WordPress was. I created a Blogspot blog and I just started writing here and there about things that inspired me or different ways to look at a situation or how to make your life better. Because even though I wasn't 100% where I wanted to be, just the little mindset shifts that I was making in my own life, like shifting my inner self-talk from being mean to myself to nice to myself and how becoming the person that I wanted to be rather than staying in my old energy helped me get a lot of promotions and raises and helped me get out of the retail job that I didn't like into a 9-to-5 job that I actually did like, and that allowed me to be creative. So I started to just talk about that level of success that I was at and share people as I went. And I think that's a big teaching for anyone who's listening, that you don't have to be like, you know, Tony Robbins or Marie Forleo to get started. All you have to do if you're interested in helping people and sharing your knowledge is just help people who are a few steps behind you. Because there are people that can't even relate to someone who's that far in advance. So if you just start where you're at, which is exactly what I did, and just be really passionate about helping people and serving, you'll continue to grow because you'll learn so much as you go, and you'll be able to help so many people. And those people who are there when you start are going to be your most loyal followers and fans as you grow, which is incredible.
So true.
I started blogging, and I remember being really afraid of like telling people about it. Like I had a few like readers on my blog here and there, but I hadn't told anyone close to me because I had all this fear that people were going to judge me or laugh at me or not like my idea or not get it. And, you know, I had all that self-talk of like, well, who am I to inspire people or who am I to start my own business? But I remember when I finally did share what I was doing and what I was so passionate about, a few people who I thought would maybe judge me or not get it were actually super excited for me and wanted to help out or share my blog post or even write on my blog. So I felt like creating something that people saw value in, and that was huge validation for me. And also like it got me out of my own head and just speaking out loud what I wanted to create. So speaking that into existence, which is essentially what I did, because when I talked about it, there'd be someone who's like, oh, you should interview this person. You should talk to that person. You should get advice from that person. And by, instead of constricting myself or keeping everything to myself, sharing it from a place of love and sharing it from my best intention or sharing it hoping that it will inspire or help someone, it actually helped me as well. And so, yeah, I just continued to grow the blog while I was still working 9-to-5. I was like, okay, now how do I monetize?
Yes.
I was, you know, working full time, and then I was doing it in the evening. And at first it was just like a fun passion project, and I got to share sort of my point of view in the world. Mm-hmm. And then I started to get all these messages from people who were saying that it was helping them, it was inspiring them, it was, you know, inspiring them to start their own blog or start their own business or whatever. And so I was like, I'm helping so many people in just a couple hours in the evening after work. Imagine what I could do if I had, you know, 40 hours more a week to do this.
Right.
And so I started to do a ton of research in how to make money like off of your passion. And I couldn't really find anything like perfect. So I sort of dabbled. That's another piece of advice too. Just take action wherever you can. So the first product that I launched was a social media calendar that showed you like all the fun social media dates, because a lot of people were asking how I had grown my social media. And then the next was my Good Morning Beautiful emails. Then I launched my membership site, and then I started coaching. And now I'm kind of doing a little bit of everything. I have my membership site now, which is helping people create their yes in life. And I do one-on-one coaching and group coaching. So it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So would you say that, that some of your previous work helped you to help to prepare you for the work that you're doing now? And if so, like in what way, what can you see that shows up right now in your day-to-day work that where you're like, okay, I kind of learned this from my previous experience?
100%. I think anyone like who's listening right now, like look at what you're currently going through as a blessing. If you're working in a 9-to-5 job or a job that you hate, don't look at it as like, oh my God, I hate this job, I can't wait till I quit. Be thankful that you have that, because that's your investor in your dream, right? Mm-hmm. Start saving your money instead of spending it on, you know, stuff that doesn't matter, and putting it towards what does matter. Actually, when I was still working full time, I hired my first assistant because I didn't have that much time. So I needed to create more time by hiring someone. But 100%, first off, you know, launching that first styling business with my really ugly website that I can't even if anyone hired me off of, that showed me that A, even though I didn't get trained formally on how to build a website, and by the way, guys, it was like 20 times harder to build a website back then than it is now.
Right.
It just showed me that if I'm persistent even when things are hard, even when it's crashing, whatever, if I'm persistent and I keep figuring out, I ask questions, I watch tutorials, I get courses, whatever it is, I will figure it out. Because believe me, I had no idea what I was doing. When the website actually was online, I was like, really? Like, I don't even know. I think I did the same thing 50 times. And then the 51st time, it just worked. Like, I don't even know how I did it. So that just showed me persistence. It also showed me that, like, hey, if you put something on the internet, people find it and they want to give you money. And like, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, when you get paid to do what you love. So that's what I learned from figuring out my first styling business. From retail too. As much as when I was working there, I was like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. I cannot fold another sweater. I cannot, you know, take another person into the fitting room. That was actually a great company to work for because it taught me so much about working with people, about customer service. A lot of people, when they first start growing their businesses, are afraid to sell. And it showed me that like sales is not a bad thing. Like if somebody walks into a retail store, like they're not lost. They're not asking for directions. They're there because they want to purchase.
Right.
They need an outfit. They need something to wear on a date. They need a new pair of shoes. They need a scarf, whatever it is. They're there for a reason. So by me finding the best thing for them, I'm not selling to them in a negative way. I'm serving them because as a customer service person, I know the product better than they do. So I'm the only person who can explain it to them. Mm-hmm. And so me now promoting, you know, my membership site or my coaching or an event or whatever it is, I know that I'm never selling. Somebody who doesn't want my coaching, I'm not, no matter how great of a salesperson I am, if someone doesn't want my coaching, they're not going to sign up.
Right.
Or if someone doesn't want my membership site, they're not going to sign up. I'm creating what I'm creating for the people who need it, the people who are looking for their passion and purpose in life and want to learn how to turn it into a business, want to learn how to create freedom, want to learn how to work from home, want to connect to people who are like-minded because their boyfriend and their sister doesn't understand why they would ever want to start a business instead of being in a stable job. That's who I'm creating it for. So I just explain the hell out of what I'm doing to those people who need it so they know what they're purchasing. And anyone who doesn't need it, there's a bajillion other blogs and a bajillion other websites that they can go hang out on. So working in retail showed me that selling is not a bad thing. It's simply the right person who needs what you have to offer. That's why they're in the store, just like that's why they're on your blog or on your email list. And sharing what you have to offer as product or service that you're really excited about and you believe in and you've added a ton of value to it so you know that it can help people, you are actually helping that person who's going to purchase because you're just showing them like, hey, I know you want this anyway. Let me show you how to do it. Working in the 9-to-5 job also helped me a ton because even though I started in the 9-to-5 as customer service, when I first started in that business, I realized really quickly that they were launching an education platform. And so the 9-to-5 that I worked at, it was a point of sale company straight to retail business owners. And I already had a retail background and I was so right. passionate and curious about entrepreneurship. And I just wanted to learn more and be a part of that world. And so even though I was in customer service, when I found out that they were launching an education company, I was always putting my hand up. I was like, if you need advice with this, if you need someone with a retail background to give you feedback on this, like, let me know. Like, if you need any help with this education thing you're thinking of launching, let me know. There is this sort of like online Wikipedia for the company where people on the product team who are in a different country were uploading like projects that they were thinking of working on. And even though it was kind of like quote unquote like outside of my level or what some people say is like that's not my job, even though it was kind of like quote unquote not my job, I was always on those sort of, I guess I would explain them as like internal forums. Right. I was always in those forums like, hey, I think retailers would like this. I think retailers would like that. Like I was super passionate about something. So when they actually were ready to launch that education platform, they asked me like, hey, you know how you said you wanted to help out? Would you be interested in that being your job? And I like jumped for joy, A, because I had worked there for less than 3 months. So the meeting that they called, I thought I was getting fired. B, because I was like, yes, that is exactly what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I was so fresh there that I didn't want to like ask for this new job when I was still in the initial job that I got hired for. But it's because I was in the energy of who I wanted to be. I was helping and I was showing that I cared and all that, that it only made sense for them to put me in that role. So I launched that entire product working at the company for less than 3 months with only one other team member. And from that, I learned so much about education, and such a huge part of my company now is educating people on how to improve their life, how to improve their confidence, how mm-hmm. to overcome self-doubt, and also how to find their passion and turn it into a business. So mm-hmm. every little piece of the puzzle, you know, even when I was still working the 9-to-5 and I was like, oh, I can't wait till my business is full time and everything like that. Every little piece of the puzzle, it all came together in the perfect way for me to be doing what I'm doing now.
That is beautiful. I love it. So up until now, I know that you've had like quite a story. What's one thing that you would say has been like a pivotal point in your life that's helped to shape your reality now?
I think, and I can't even think of the exact moment that I realized or I recognized this, but mm-hmm. something happened in my life that made me realize that I am the creator of my own reality. I control every single thing that happens to me. And so there's never any reason to worry about your life, because you control every single thing that happens to you. And mm-hmm. it's up to you to decide, do you want it to be a good thing or do you want it to be a bad thing?
Right.
Because, and this is why my company is called Yes Supply, because so many people know exactly what they don't want. You know, they know, mm-hmm. I don't want to work at this company with this boss, and I don't want to only be paid minimum wage. Okay, so what do you do want? I don't know. Well, if you don't know where you want to go, if you don't know what you want to create, if you don't have a vision for your life, how do you expect to ever get there? It's like getting in your car and driving and wasting all this gas. It's like, where are you going? I have no clue. So
you're never going to get anywhere. What's your destination?
Right? Yeah, exactly. So with everything and anything you do, know what your end goal is. Like, yeah. Know where it is you want to end up. How do you want your day to look like? I have a perfect day exercise. Do the perfect day exercise on your perfect day, a working day, because I can't show you, you know, how to make money without doing anything. Not at that mm-hmm. point yet, but on your perfect working day, what would you do? Right? Because it's so cool. Oh my God, it's so cool, because I actually right now I'm living my perfect day. Mm. You know, my perfect working day that I mapped out when I was still working 9-to-5 is wake up at 6 a.m, do my morning rituals. So mm-hmm. do my meditation, my journaling, my affirmations, my visualizing, go to the gym. And then I come home and I do something creative in the morning. So I create content, I take pictures for a blog post. And then I get to, you know, post on social media, or I do live streams pretty much every day, or I get to talk to a client, or I get to work with the people on my membership site. Like, I could not have gotten here if I didn't know what I wanted to do before I did it. I had to think about where I want to end up. So, okay, so if this is where I want to end up, then what has to happen before that can happen? Well, I probably need a website. I need a membership site. I need a product to sell. Mm-hmm. I need to tell people that I take clients so that they can hire me. Like, there's certain things that need to happen, and it's not rocket science. It's just thinking about where do you want to go and then working backwards from there and then taking action instead mm-hmm. of just like watching what everyone else is doing on Instagram or on Facebook, recognizing that your time is so, 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 so valuable. So why watch everyone else's life when you can make your life worth watching? And just be excited about the things that you're doing in your day. Be excited about the content that you're creating or whatever it is you're building, and focus your time and energy on that, because we live in such a distracted world where we just look at what everyone else is doing instead of, you know, what we could be doing and actually experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so true. Like, we're kind of in this space where it's fun to watch, but then it's also hazardous, yeah. if you will, to watch, because, you know, it's easy to sort of get caught up
and just like the glitz of other people's lives and their highlight reel, as we've all heard. And, you know, that's no fun because you need to be out there creating your own moments, your own reality. Just like you said, that's so true. And for those who think that maybe like working for yourself is like all like peachy and beautiful and fun and endless travel and everything like that, and you definitely make it look good. Maybe what's one bit of reality that you can share with them that just lets them know, like, actually, this is real work. You know, yeah, like I do have to put my all into this.
100%. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't take selfies while I'm sitting at my desk with no makeup on, like at a blog post, right? Like that. And that just doesn't make sense. Like, so here's a good way to think about it. Just say you're only following 100 people, right? Mm-hmm. And then every time you go into social media, you see someone's, what, person number one is in Tulum, and the next person is in Bali, and the next person is in LA, and the next person is on like a dream date, and the next person is buying a house. So you are comparing your one moment of your life to these 100 people living their highlight reel. So you're like, oh my God, everyone is out there enjoying and doing all these incredible things. But that's 100 people. There's not 100 people showing 24 hours a day. Right. So when they take that one picture, that's 10 minutes of their day. And then the other 23 hours and 50 minutes, they're actually like living a normal life that is not that much different than yours or mine. Like last year, I actually had a great life or a great like sort of traveling itinerary. I went to Nicaragua, I went to Bali, I went to LA, I was in New York. Like I went everywhere and it was amazing. And I got to do some incredible things, but I also wrote a lot of emails and I also, you know, had to be on flights and I also had to find my outfits and suitcases. And like, there's the glamorous side of it where I'm on a beach and having fun with my friends. And yes, that's incredible. But then there's also the side where I also had to work really hard to get there. So there, like when you're looking at everyone else's highlight reels, remember that that is like 10% of their life. The rest of their life, they're doing lots of behind the scenes stuff that is very much the same as what you're going to need to do to build your own switch, pivot, or quit moment.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
So what's one thing that you've learned that's helped you sort of adult better and navigate life in a more, maybe a more approachable way? Because we all, you know, we like adulting is this thing now, like years ago, it wasn't this thing, but it's a thing and we're all doing it. And it's not always fun, but there are certain things that I'm sure we've all picked up along the way that's helped us sort of do it better. So is there anything that you've picked up that's helped you adult better?
Yeah, I think, and this kind of goes back to creating your perfect day exercise, but really thinking about what are the tasks in your day that you enjoy and knowing that's your zone of genius and making the decision to do it really well. And then what are the things that you do not enjoy and delegating that out, right? So, honestly though, it's like find a really good accountant or a bookkeeper that you trust. Find a really good assistant that you trust that can, you know, help you organize your emails. I'm more of a creative side. I don't like, you know, staring at my inbox all day. I don't like lots of like paperwork and stuff. So find people who complement you, who are kind of opposite of you, and learn how to delegate that out, because especially when you're growing a business, you want to be able to have the energy to do the things that you really, really enjoy. And there's people that enjoy things that are the opposite end of the spectrum, and let them do that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And that goes for entrepreneurship as well, as I feel like if you're in the corporate space and you're corporate climber and you're doing your thing on that side too, it's like, hey, well, if there's some things that you don't like doing in your job, then advance so that you can find someone to do the things that you don't like doing, and you can delegate, you know, and do the things that you do like doing, or the things that are within, like you said, your zone of genius, the things that you have like really core strengths at.
And like when my cleaners come in, they're here for 2 hours and the house, like, or I lived in a loft, but the loft is like sparkly. And that is their strength.
Right.
Really good.
You couldn't have knocked that out in 2 hours.
No, I could not have. It would have taken me all day to do it half as good. Like, find people who are really good at what they do, who just like, you can just tell, like, I can tell that they love their jobs. Like, I can tell that they, like, loved. The last time they came in, I was, like, wrapping gifts. Mm-hmm. And some of it was, like, on the couch. And then I came back, and they had, like, organized it all, like, neatly in a pile. Like, they didn't have to do that. Like, they just, right. like, love it. So, it's, like, find people who love the opposite of what you love, and then work with them.
I love that. And speaking, since you said, like, your house cleaners, it makes me think, like, do you have any personal care routines or any personal care, like, indulgences that sort of, like, make life better for you?
Well, I go to the gym pretty much every day. Like, mm-hmm. even if it's, like, an off day, I'll do something light, because I'm a very high energy person. Mm. And so if I remember when I wasn't going, because I used to not go as much because I'm like, oh, I have too much to do. I can't go to the gym.
Right.
But then I would get really antsy. If I'm sitting there, I'd get really antsy, and I would feel like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't know. I would just feel like I was, like, stuck or, like, trapped. And then, like, going to the gym, it just allows me to, like, let go of, like, a lot of energy. And then when I come down, and I can just, like, sit and get work done, and I don't feel like I have all this excess energy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, remember too, like, this is, like, the most basic thing, but also I remember when I first started my business, I was like, don't have time for friends. Don't have time for this. Like, I need to just, like, work and, like, make it work. But the happiest thing for me is, like, making time to, like, just hang out and, like, you know, go outside or, like, watch a Chappelle show or, like, mm-hmm. I like my friend, Alyssa, who, like, works around the corner. Like, every Monday we get together and we just, like, I have a coach, but I sit with her and we just, like, talk about our week, and we have very similar businesses. So it's just, like, having someone that you can, like, talk to and connect too. So just, like, make sure you are making time for friends, and it's, like, taking that time away from your business that will actually make you so much more energized when you step back to it. And K beauty products. I'm, like, all about Korean beauty products, sheet masks, and it's, like, really good. They're all about this serum that's called Essence, and it's, like, completely changed my skin.
Ooh.
And the way hair oil smells amazing, and makes my hair look so good.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Thus far in your career, what's been the best piece of advice that you've received, or the most useful piece of advice, maybe?
So the best piece of advice that I received, I actually didn't receive it from a person, but I was following Jasmine Dowling online. She's an artist, and she's really great and really inspiring. So go check her out. Mm-hmm. And I have one of her prints that says, "The secret to getting ahead is getting started." And now looking back, like, now when I post, you know, there's always people liking. And if I sell something, there's always people buying. But when you're first starting, you don't have anyone following you. You post something and you feel like you're talking to a wall. Right. And it's honestly, it's kind of the hardest part at the very beginning, because you're doing all this stuff and you're like, is anyone even going to care? There's no proof yet. And so I had this post, this print from her, and it just said, "The secret to getting ahead is getting started." And so when I was first starting, even though I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know which direction I was going, and I just made sure that I was taking action every day, whether it was writing half a blog post or posting something or fixing a header on my blog or whatever it was, I was just making sure that I was getting started. And I had this sort of feeling inside me that at least if I was doing something, if I was just moving forward every day, eventually I would get closer to where I wanted to be. And really it was that taking action that just got me one step closer, right? Because if I was just sitting there waiting for the perfect moment, hoping that someone was going to fly in on a shiny unicorn and explain to me what to do, I'd be waiting a long time. I just pushed forward, asked questions. So I really do think that the secret to getting ahead is getting started. And when I'm starting a new project and I feel overwhelmed and there's so many different actions that I could take, it's like, don't worry so much about what to do first. Just start doing whatever you think is the best priority to get started with, and just move forward and take action and be consistent for yourself, so that becomes a habit, and be consistent for your audience so they know to look out for you and that you're loyal to them, and eventually you will be able to find the path.
Right. Have you made any, or would you say that you've made any missteps maybe? I know a lot of people don't like to say mistakes because everything is like a learning experience, but maybe any missteps that you later realize to be a good learning lesson for yourself?
I think a definite learning experience that I got was now planning ahead. So when I was first starting, I was taking a lot of different action and I get really excited. And so last year I was doing a lot of things at once. So I was doing a retreat in Bali. And then a month later I did a workshop in LA. And then I still had one-on-one coaching clients and I was running a membership site. And I'm so grateful for all the incredible things that I get to do. And it's great because the retreat was successful, the workshop was successful, the membership site and my clients are all doing great. But that's a lot of things to do all at one point. So now, as the new year is starting, I'm actually like mapping out my year thinking, when do I want to launch new things? When do I want to have a little bit of breaks in between? And I am now going into this year, I'm super excited about everything that I'm doing. And I feel like there's space in between. So I think sort of, I wouldn't even call it a mistake though, because I am really happy about everything that we did and how everything went. But I think that sort of mapping it out before and giving yourself the right timing so that when there's a lot going on, you can keep that sense of balance.
Very true. I like that. Now I just, I noticed, I don't know if you follow Ojoy, but, she's like she's a blogger and she does a lot of creative stuff and she has like a product deal, say like a brand or product deal with like Target. And she just did something on her Instagram stories a couple days ago where she was asking her audience, do they read blogs? And it was so funny because I guess her assumption already was like, no, they don't. And then the results said the same thing. They said, no, they don't read as much. And then she asked them like, oh, do you like me doing like lives and things like that? And they were like, yes, we like lives and whatnot. So I'm just curious, how do you, because you blog, how do you feel about where sort of like blogging might be going or people's attention to blogging? Have you noticed any decline in attention or anything like that?
Yeah, 100%. It's so funny because I think sort of naturally, I don't blog as much as I used to. I don't write as many blog posts. Mm-hmm. And I find I love so much more talking to my audience on live stream. So I don't know if it was a conscious thing that I did, but I just started to fall in love with lives. I liked being able to see people's comments and answer people's questions on the spot. And I'm seeing a lot of, you know, marketing articles and stuff that are saying that in a few years, everything is going to be video and there's not going to be as many articles. So I would definitely agree with the response that she got. Like for, in terms of interaction, doing live streams is such a great way to do it. I think it allows you to actually talk to your audience. Whereas like when you write a blog post, you post it out there and you're like, I hope people are reading it. You get a comment. So you're like, okay, I guess people are reading it. But I think that lives are so much more interactive. So I find that my time more goes to creating videos, live streams, and like on Instagram, like more on social media platforms rather than on blogs. Mm-hmm. That being said though, for anyone who's listening, always remember that social media is fun. And yes, we're spending a lot of time on social media, but the only sort of list that you own in terms of your audience and your fan base or your follower base is your email list. So if you're posting on social media, go ahead, post on social media, but do try to drive traffic back to your email list. So even though I spend a lot of time doing live streams and Instagram and all of that, I always have something exciting as a bonus for people who join my email list. So I'm always talking about freebies that I have to offer. I have like free meditations and free like mini courses. I have a webinar on how to launch your membership site and on free guides on how to find your passion and how to attract your dream clients. I have so many great things that you get access to when you join my email list. And the reason is because you know, one day the Instagram algorithm is great and you're getting a million likes, and the next day, like, nobody even knows who you are. And so your email list is the one thing that you can download and right. you can keep it with you, and you own that list. Whereas, you know, Instagram is now owned by Facebook. And, you know, a few years ago, if you're posting on a Facebook page, it would get tons of engagement. And now your Facebook business page gets very little engagement. And so I will not be surprised if in a few years, it's hard to get engagement on Instagram unless you're paying to play with ads. So just one thing to remember, that no matter whether you're blogging or you're YouTubing or you're social mediaing or you're networking, doesn't matter, always mm-hmm. drive people back to your email list, because that is the one place that you own, and you can take the contacts that are loyal to you, who love your content and love what you put out. You can always communicate with them so much better than on any other platform.
Right. Yeah. I was just actually saying that on live the other day, because it's like so many people depend on their social media to yeah. do everything for them. But I'm like, you don't own it. You don't own anything. And yeah. what happens if Facebook, because like you said, they do own Instagram now, what happens if they shut down any of your accounts? Then what are you going to do? How are you going to
exactly
people? So you don't want to take that chance. You definitely want to build a relationship outside of social media. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you can like repurpose your content. Like if you write a blog post, sometimes I'll write a blog post and then I'll do a live where I'm talking about some of the similar posts as what was on my blog post. Right.
Right.
It's like, even if you're on multiple platforms, you don't have to think up something completely new for each platform, because with every different platform, it's different native content. People will react to it in a different way. And someone who's on your email list might not ever check Instagram, or vice versa. So it is okay to repurpose your content to save yourself a bit of time.
Right, right. Yes, 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 yes. I love that. So wrapping up, what does success mean or look like for you?
That's an awesome question. And I'm glad you asked that too, because I think that there's such a singular, you know, idea of success.
Right.
And I really do think that success is something that you have to decide and you have to design. And mm-hmm. that's really what creating your own yes is. So the worst thing that you can do is look at like a successful blogger or a successful coach or author and say, oh, she looks happy. She's wearing a cute outfit. I want to do that. No.
Right.
When you want to figure out your own version of success, you have to look inside you. And I always go back to, what is my version of success? Because mm-hmm. When I first launched my business, it was all about creating amazing content and being really inspiring and showing people how I changed, you know, like my self-love habits and my self-talk and really connecting with people in that way. Last year, I realized, oh my God, I have my own business and I can have freedom and I can travel the world. So my version of success meant being a digital nomad and traveling and doing retreats all over the world and meeting my audience in different countries. This year, my version of success is actually staying in Toronto and connecting with people in my own city in Toronto and doing real in-person events and having experiences, because I realized that, you know, spending so much time in front of a screen, it doesn't make me happy. What makes me happy is connecting with people and having real experiences. And so I think your idea of success can change, but I really think it's thinking about like, what are the things that bring you joy? What makes you happy? For me, a huge thing is freedom. I have the freedom to wake up when I want to, go to bed when I want to, work on things when I'm energized, and nap when I'm not energized. And so I think freedom and success is being able to decide how you live your life.
I love it. And I absolutely agree. And that's why I asked that question, because I feel like a lot of people, especially people listening, you know, for years we had this certain idea of success, but now that we can sort of engage with each other via social media, we can see that there's different versions of success, and you don't have mm-hmm. to be tied to this one sort of like idea of what success, perfection, all of these things sort of went hand in hand. And I like that we can open ourselves up to, okay, this is what it means for me today. You know, maybe it means something different for me tomorrow, but a lot of what I'm finding people's answers are is happiness too. Like, we all just want to be happy. So yeah, I love that.
And I think that the way you can feel the most successful and the way that you can feel the most happy actually is when you're able to help other people and make an impact in people's lives. Like, when I feel the most successful is when I get an email or a message from either someone who I'm working with or even someone who just follows me, who read an article or watched a video and says, like, this changed my life. This inspired me. This made me stop settling. This made me, you know, take action on something that I was afraid of or do something that's going to change the world. Like, that is success. Because at the end of the day, you know, the thing that you're leaving behind is like your memory. Like, that's what people are going to remember about you, like how you actually help them. So you'll feel so much more fulfilled when you do something that helps you really improve your life and impacts the people around you. Cause all we really have at the end of the day is like love and our friendships and our connections and the impact we make around us.
So true. So true. Before I let you go, one final thing that I want to ask, what's the most common thing that the clients that you work with one-on-one, what's the most common, maybe block that you see that people come to you with, and how do you sort of help them through? Like, what's your first, go-to method to sort of help them through whatever that block is?
I think that a lot of people, there's a few things. I think one is indecision and trying to do everything at once. So I want to do a podcast, a website, a blog, a book. You're one person. So what's your priority and what's the one thing that you can do that will get you to where you want to be fastest and make all those other problems disappear in your life? Because then you can focus on other stuff. So that's number one. Number two, which I actually think is more important to share, is perfection. I think perfection is non-existent.
I agree.
And I think everyone is striving for it, and you can keep clicking and fixing and updating and spending all your time in the back end of your WordPress site trying to make it perfect. And so what I say to that is focus on connection, not perfection, because nobody expects you to be perfect. But what people are looking for is somebody who is real, someone who gets it, somebody who, you know, believes in a better world and believes in what they believe in. So instead of focusing on looking perfect or appearing a certain way, really focus on, like, okay, why did you even decide to start this? Like, what is the problem that you wanted to solve? So I know for me, the problem that I wanted to solve was I just saw so many like creative, talented people who wanted to live a life of freedom, wanted to do amazing things, but didn't know how to get started, or thought that people who were successful were different than them. So other people could do it, but they couldn't do it. And so the problem I'm trying to solve is show people how to be resourceful with what they currently have. Because I started with no help, no knowledge, no business degree, no parents to pay my rent, and I still figured it out. So I want to show people that you can start wherever you're at and create the dream life that you have. That's my problem. And that's what I'm passionate about. And that's what I want to fix every day. And I have spelling mistakes on my website. I'm sure I get messages sometimes that there's spelling mistakes, but it doesn't matter, because people, like, I'm changing people's lives and helping people. So don't worry so much about being perfect. Believe me, you can spend all day trying to be perfect and you're still not going to be perfect. So now that we got that out of the way, what is your mission? How do you want to change lives? How do you want to help people? What is the problem that you're going to solve? Focus on connecting with the people that you want to impact and help. And that's what's going to get you to the end goal.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Reese. This has been fun. Inspiring conversation, as I knew it would be. Before we go, make sure you tell everyone where they can keep up with you, find out more about with you, and connect with you.
Yeah, 100%. So you can find me if you want to read my articles and blog posts. I have blog posts on like self-help, self-love, self-empowerment, and also finding your passion, turning it into a business at yessupply.co. You can follow me at YesApply on pretty much every platform, especially where I spend my time is Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, that's pretty much what you need from me. YesApply.co and at YesApply on any platform. So yeah, so great.
Love it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Absolutely appreciate it. Appreciate all of your insight and spending your time with us.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. If you've made it this far and you like what you've heard, share if you care. That was corny, right? But anyway, I'd be super grateful on the real if you'd subscribe on iTunes and if you'd rate us. Definitely would also appreciate you telling a friend. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, keep killing it.